Hi, I'm Sharon Laws and I'm from the northeast of England, from the council in Sunderland. And I just want to follow on from Alison in terms of the work we've been doing in Sunderland with regards to the digital platform and actually the data that sits within the opportunities around digital. As a council, we had started about 4 years ago wondering how we were going to survive beyond the challenges we were facing 4 years ago. We'd taken out over 100 million of our base budget, and we could see that things were not going to get any easier. But we recognised that as an organisation, we had so much potential within the organisation, both in terms of our people, our opportunities, and our ability to be courageous, to do something different. So we started to introduce something called our intelligence approach. And I want to spend a little bit of time today talking through what we've done to deliver an intelligence service in Sunderland and how we've been changing the way our practitioners work, obviously to the benefits of our customers. So as I said, 4 years ago, we recognised that we couldn't continue to do this, the redesign in our services the way we've been doing it. We'd stripped back office, we'd become more efficient, we'd become leaner. But we also had challenges. And we knew that as a city, we sat as a local government within with significant assets, with significant resources, and although getting smaller, and people. And with those together in our partnership, we felt we could do something very different for the City of Sunderland. I think Carrie mentioned this. As an organisation like local government, we often end up with many, many corporate priorities. But within our recent corporate plan, we boiled it down to three key things. We need to make sure that our most vulnerable in the city were cared for, were supported, and had opportunities to live and optimise their lives. And for the rest of the people who are not, you know, vulnerable, we want to make sure they don't become vulnerable by making sure our residents and our communities were resilient. Therefore, we had to get better at targeting resources, we had to get better at decision making and having much more informed decisions, which is where the thought process around an intelligence approach came into being. As an organisation, we are data rich as a local government. We have around 300 source systems sitting out on our network. So we've got digital capabilities coming out of our ears. We've got computer systems, we've got bespoke systems, and we've got loads of Excel spreadsheets and Access databases that people operate secretly. They hold information about people, about the city, about the community. We might be information rich, but how much of it was intelligence? How much of it would really enable us to change the way we did things with individuals? Well, very little of it, because everybody was working in silos. We also, as I've mentioned earlier, had an organisation that had some really good people in it. Somebody like myself, who has not come from a digital background, somebody who did not come from a data background, no analytics experience. I was a lead commissioner in health and social care, but I was known for being disruptive. I was a disruptive force, according to our chief executive. So with working with the right people and doing things differently, they decided to deploy me and take me from my full-time job and to work on developing and deploying this intelligence approach. Because what we recognised was, whilst we were half in size from what we'd been 4 years ago, we wanted to do and maximise and build on the knowledge that we had amongst our practitioners, amongst our managers. That a lot of the people, hadn't been much movement in our council for those 4,500 of us who remain, so we wanted to make sure that we maximised that. And obviously, we wanted to use technology. We wanted to embrace the opportunities that technology brings, but we didn't want to see this as a technology-led project. We didn't want to turn people off from the start, particularly those frontline practitioners who we believe needed to do things differently. And when you put that three things into combination, it turns it into actionable intelligence, being able to do things differently. We couldn't do this alone, so we made the decision to go out for a strategic partner. We recognised that we did not have the skills and capabilities that were needed to take us from being a council who was very paternalistic. Alison mentioned a paternalistic Wigan council, very much like ourselves, who want to make sure we did the best for people. Sometimes we were failing, and those of us who will be aware of recent Ofsteds and serious case reviews, we have let people down within our city. But we also know that we had the right people and the right mindset amongst our leadership team, amongst our cabinet members, who said, let's bring some money, let's invest. At a time when we were disinvesting in a lot of things, we want to invest. So we went into partnership with a global leader in intelligence called Palantir. We were the first local authority to work with Palantir in Europe. They've done a lot of work in the US, they're a Silicon Valley company. But what they were tasked with was making us self-sufficient. We didn't want to rely on them beyond the initial two years of the partnership. And thankfully I'm able to say we don't have to rely on them now. The partnership in terms of the 2 years has just ended in September, and we are, as a team of myself and four data scientists, self-sufficient in working and deploying and using intelligence across our organisation with partners. I'm sure this is familiar to many people who work within a data-driven world. It's around the way we work with intelligence is taking that clearly defined problem or clearly defined opportunity and putting the data that we have through a process. Too often in our organisation we went from problem to solution, because we always thought we knew what was the right thing to do. But using this approach, applying intelligence approach, we decided that this was something that would really want to change the way the organisation was working. And whilst I always say this is, you know, this is an intelligence-led project, for me it is about organisational change. It's about disrupting the organisation, challenging our managers to say, you know, we might know the problem, but are the solutions that we've always had the right ones? So I'm just going to talk you through some of the use cases we've been working on. As an intelligence service, we sit within the corporate services part of our council. We don't sit within people services or place services or community safety, but we can work across any use case, any problem, because the approach is repeatable and scalable, and that's really important to us as an organisation. One of the significant priorities for most councils is the health and social care integration agenda. It's something that I'm very passionate around, making sure that those people who need health and social care get the right care at the right time by the right people. But I also recognise, though, as an organisation, we were not integrated in terms of our own view of our customers. A social worker would have one particular view. An occupational therapist would have another view, a physiotherapist would have another view. So one of the tools we've been developing with our frontline practitioners is something called the 360 degree adults view, adults 360 for its shorthand name. This is Mary, and I don't know how well that shows on the screen, but Mary is 94. We've known her for the last 2 years. And she is known already in a two-year relationship with the council on a health and social care basis within four different source systems. Information is held about Mary in our telecare system, our integrated system around reablement, our equipment system, our adult social care system, and also our acute hospital trust. So this tool here is a visualisation tool that we've developed where 350 practitioners use this tool on their desktops, on their laptops, to view a picture of a person in a way that has never been achieved before. To get this picture, they would have had to ring up. And guess what? As busy practitioners, they tend not to use the information around. They went with what they got to make the decisions. John, however, is only 46. John's got a lot of history with our organisation, even though he is only 46. And he is also known within our reablement at home, within our telecare, within our social care system, within our home adaptation system, also our equipment, telecare, hospital, and the police. So we get information from our acute trust and from the police, and to display it to enable practitioners to make those decisions that will impact and affect their next move. What it brings is a different conversation. What went well with the Adults 360? Well, that first bullet point is the most important. It was the co-design, the co-creation, and the co-iteration. The ability of working with our strategic partner and with my team has enabled us to work with practitioners to say what we like, what we don't like, what made sense, what didn't make sense. And that was really important. But ourselves alone cannot make the changes needed. We had to find those people who were the influencers within the services, influencers of enabling the social workers to change the way they worked, their practice. And again, they're not necessarily the management. The frontline social worker who now uses the Addle 360 within the multidisciplinary team meetings she has with GPs is so more empowered today than she was 4 weeks ago. So she's a really significant person to build on. What didn't go well? Well, the time it takes to build the trust and relationships to access other services data. To get the data from a medical director within a hospital was a significant challenge that I fought for about a year in a really positive way with a smile on my face, but it did take a long time. And other things is, those systems are hosted by the council. Majority of those systems are council-run systems. That locked data in them. We weren't smart enough 5 or 10, 15 years ago when we bought those systems to see the power of the data. We thought it was all about the system. So we had to work with our suppliers around accessing our own data about people who we represent, and that was a significant challenge. But the biggest lesson for me in this was around the confidence factor, the time it takes, the effort it takes to get that confidence. But when you get the data, when you get a tool that the practitioners want and you see the use, it's worth the time taken. Another use case is strengthening families. And strengthening families is Sunderland's approach to the National Troubled Families Programme. This is where the government set 6 criteria and said, if a family or somebody within a household meets one of these criteria, you know, the local authority and partners need to work with these families to make sure that we can get in early enough. We were all given targets to meet those families, and every council sitting in this room will understand that if we've been part of it. We had 810 families in the first phase to find. It should have been easy. With the levels of deprivation, the levels of challenges that someone has, it took time because it was a referral. It was requiring practitioners to recognise the family members, the issues. We want to get smarter at that for phase two. So one of the tools we've developed is called our radar tool. And this is where we take the information from the source systems and we do data matching, which allows us to find those families who meet one or two criteria who may not be part of the programme yet, but the operational managers are wanting to encourage their staff to have different conversations. For me, a lot of the redesign driven by data is around the different conversation data allows us to have. And this has been really successful in finding the families within phase two, and actually families who have had earlier interventions and therefore better outcomes for them and their household. As part of the strengthening families, we also developed a family's view of an individual. So we've got the Addle 360 within adult social care. This is a tool that's used across social work, across youth offending, antisocial behaviour, the police within our MASH teams. This tool again enables that view of an individual across police systems, across DWP, across school, across social care, across youth offending. It just allows that view to enable decisions to be better made. What went well? The willingness of partners to share. The legal gateway was there. You know, there was a data sharing agreement came in place and the police were very, very willing to share. They saw the benefit of this straight away. And we got some very visible and immediate results. But there was a fear of that erosion of the professional practice and the professional perspective. Are you telling me that the computer's going to tell me more than what I know? Well, no. We do automate a lot of the process now. We develop an intelligence pack for the panel process, but it still doesn't take away the professional judgment. An intelligence pack cannot be analysed. It has to still have a professional judgment in there. The best analytical tool is always the human brain. And the single biggest lesson was the investment in small specific areas has led to much closer work, particularly with Northumbria Police, our local police force. So it was worth putting the effort and time into one use case to get some greater benefits. As I said earlier, the process, the way of working is repeatable and scalable. So whilst those two examples have been very much about vulnerable people, one of the areas that we were asked to look at was around our regulatory responsibilities, around our licensing. Our licensing colleagues were wanting to make a change to the licensing policies, and our public health colleagues were very keen on understanding the impact of alcohol across the city. Everybody was coming from it from one of their own perspectives, their perspective of, this is my view, this is how alcohol impacts on me and my organisation. So the police knew their problem areas, ambulance service knew their problem areas, the local authority knew theirs, but it never ever matched up. So one of the tools we've developed is the ability to layer that data, ingest that data in our intelligence system to identify those problem areas, to maybe do some different type of work and potentially develop cumulative impact policies. But the public health data isn't sufficient enough at the minute to change the alcohol licensing. What is when we can demonstrate that children have been impacted as a consequence of alcohol. And through the work that the data scientists were able to do, they were able to extract the data from our social care system and pseudonymise it, and were able to demonstrate the geographical areas of the city where children were being impacted upon alcohol. When we showed this to our licensing manager, he got very emotional because he'd been grappling with this issue for many years, and we were able to use the data to get him to a place where he knew he needed to be. We're also in a place where we're now able to show across the locality the different problems within the different locality areas. So that just demonstrates some metadata, data we know about a particular part of the city, which says from the ambulance perspective, from the crime perspective, from the licensing perspective and vulnerable children, this is an area we may want to target. It's about how we use that data to drive different decisions. The ability to see the collective picture was definitely the biggest lesson and what went well. And there was conflicting priorities. Licensing and public health had their own opinions around things that didn't matter to the work we were doing eventually, because it was around for the good of the city. But those different conversations do require time and effort. And the final use case is around community safety, and it builds on the work we did initially within Strengthening Families, where our local police recognised the power of the way we were working. So one of the things we've started to do is develop intelligence profiles on individuals who may be victims of domestic violence, perpetrators of domestic violence, involved in serious and organised crime, counter-terrorism, for example. It's around that, getting that collective picture from a local authority perspective around how we can influence some of the most vulnerable people in the city and some of the people in the city who cause some of the biggest problems within our locality. We didn't want to leave our elected members out, because actually our elected members are the people who are making the decisions. We wanted to bring them on that journey around how we could use data within their day-to-day ward surgeries, within their responsibilities within the different committees. And one of the things we've done is developed what's called the Ward 360. The Ward 360 is a dashboard view of our customer service network data presented to them on their iPads or their computers, which allows them to see their ward level data, their comparison with other wards within the locality, something split into 5 geographical localities, and to compare themselves across a Sunderland average. This has been vital in the taking the elected members on the journey from this, particularly within the place-based services. We've had significant challenges around our place-based services as a consequence of the cuts, and we know that our members want to make the right decisions for their communities. And we're taking them into a data-driven conversation which feels very different but actually exciting at the same time. And the final thing that we've been doing, which is only in the last couple of weeks, is developing a strategic level commissioning tool. And this is a tool that takes information from all of the source systems and displays information around our customers. Probably like most of the local authorities, we manage the budgets based on home care, residential care, equipment, and amongst those, as demonstrated through the individual profile, people fit within different budget lines. So what do people actually cost? What is the best costs? How can we better improve their outcomes for individuals? So it's just a few slides around our commissioning tool. This shows our top 10% of people who have non-LD, so non-learning disabilities within adult social care, on average cost us around 39,000. However, our top 10% of people within the learning disability category cost us around £136,000 a year. So we've got challenges that we're all familiar with in the adult social care field, but it's about really understanding what is it about those individuals. So this tool allows us to do some cohort analysis. This screenshots from people who've received one of our services called Reablement at Home, which should mean that those blue boxes go down. And if I'm looking rightly, those blue boxes are going up because we're maybe not targeting the service in the right place. This is allowing decommissioning conversations to happen. This is allowing conversations with our providers in an easier way. And it does cohort analysis of individual people or groups of people. So this is all about people currently living within our residential and nursing care homes. So spread across age, across gender, and then spend, including the on costs around it. But I just wanted to finish with some quotes from practitioners, because all of the work that we've been doing to date is about making better decisions, having different conversations, redesigning services from the bottom up. And the practitioner's viewpoint is being crucial in that. They are the people who are working with the most vulnerable people day in, day out. And those are practitioners who are saying things like, I'm now making decisions without the blindfold. I can see the person for who they are now. I'm thinking differently. Thinking differently before I act, before I go and put the normal service in that I would have always normally chosen, because I would see a referral in isolation. I feel I know the customer before I meet them. This person says, I really feel that I now don't have to ask question upon question upon question. You know, tell me once. That's kind of been a mantra of ours. Well, just tell us once. Well, we still go and ask the same questions time and time again. Different decisions, different conversations. Is one of the social workers having within the GP practice MDTs. And this one was one of the most powerful ones for me, because our acute trust have access to this tool. And one of the complex discharge nurses said, I'm confident of safe and effective discharges without spending hours finding out info and making a difference to people's lives. And that's what the intelligence approach is all about. Thank you.